So in the month of December, we were looking to do a series called Keeping Christ in Christmas. And we looked at a number of different aspects of the Christmas story. Last week, unfortunately, with canceling, we weren't able to look at one piece, but I will save that maybe for next year or maybe another time. But today I want to look at in Christmas songs is what I would entitle this today, Christmas songs. And you will see in a few minutes that Christmas songs are not just what we do, not just things that we make up and sing, but they are actually, if they're really about Christmas, if they're really about Jesus Christ, then they are biblical and are found in the biblical text. And so I'll read my text in just a few minutes, but Christmas songs are, at this time of the year, of course, everywhere. Most radio stations that you turn to, they will intersperse Christmas songs into what they do. If you go to any store, they've changed it from their 80s rock a lot of times, and now they're doing, and because I was a child of the 80s, I recognize some of that. But they've changed it to Christmas music. And so you go into a restaurant, you go other places, it's all about Christmas. And I think I may have mentioned this, but my kids love Christmas music until it gets to Christmas time. And by the time we get to Christmas, I'm usually tired of Christmas music because they want to start listening, at least in times past, one or both of them have wanted to listen to Christmas music starting in September. We go back to school, it's time to listen to Christmas music. And a few years ago, we did that, and by November, I didn't care about Christmas at all, which was sad. But depending on where you live and depending on the radio station in St. Louis, there's a station at least for 2 months, all of November and all of December, every song is about Christmas, and they play it over and over. And many of the songs about Christmas, they're really about the time of year, or they're about the holiday. They're not really about Jesus Christ. And that's fine. They're fun. They're cool songs. I mean, everybody loves to sing about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, everybody knows that. It's great. Or Frosty the Snowman. Or if you get nostalgic, you can be dreaming of a white Christmas or listening to the silver bells. And so all of these songs, they invoke Christmas memories. They bring about this remembrance of Christmas past and Christmas of maybe last year or years when you were a kid. It's all of these various songs. But songs, if they're really called Christmas songs, they should be about the Christ of Christmas. That they should be songs that are glorifying and edifying Jesus Christ. They should be songs that are talking about His birth. As I mentioned, music is powerful. If you hear a song from your childhood, you don't just hear that song and think of that song and sing along, but you think of events that took place when you were listening to that song. When I was a teenager growing up in Louisiana, there were certain music that I listened to. And it's interesting that if I hear some of those songs from that time, I will have certain memories of. And it's different memories for different things, but certain songs will bring up driving through foggy nights in Louisiana during the wintertime, which is not near this cold. But it brings back not only those memories of driving, but those smells and the various things that go along with that. The music just brings back those memories. They evoke those memories. It's powerful. But music is powerful for a variety of reasons. And so we sing songs, and I'm going to give you three different reasons that we sing. But before I do, I'm going to turn your attention to the book of Luke. This is pre the Christmas event. It is after Mary has been found with child, and she has gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant with child. And she is 3 months shy of giving birth to John the Baptist. And here Mary is very close to the beginning of her pregnancy still. And after she tells Mary, or tells Elizabeth about what God has done in her life, she sings a song. And I know the text that says on the screen there, "And Mary said." But if you look at the words behind that, it is that this is considered a hymn. This is a song, much like the book of Psalms. It is, if you just read it, it looks like maybe poetry, but it is songs. The word psalm means songs. And so we have a whole book of the Bible that are nothing but songs. And so this is Mary's song that she sang. And she, whether she sang it, obviously she didn't sing it to music, and however she did it, whether she said it with rhythm or she just made it up as she was sitting there, but this is what she said: "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her, that is Elizabeth, about 3 months, and returned to her house. This is the first Christmas song. It is Mary's praise and it is Mary's thanksgiving to God for what he has done in her, that he has found her worthy, that he has shown honor to her, and has bestowed this blessing to allow her to give birth to the Savior of the world. Luke 2 gives us a synopsis of the Christmas story, and I'm going to read it because it's the Sunday before Christmas. So I'm going to read the whole thing, but in here is found a piece of the second Christmas song. Luke 2 and 1, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for him. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And as is normal, they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others." And this is the second Christmas song. "The armies of heaven praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" And I don't know if they sang this and repeated it over and over. We sing songs about this particular passage, and we've got a number of Christmas songs that are built just around this one verse. But the angels and the host of heaven sang at the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone that what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." So once again, I would tell you that Christmas is a time of remembering. It is a time of celebrating. It is a time of praising God for the birth of Jesus Christ. So why do we sing? I'm going to give you three quick points. We sing about Jesus to remember His works. That what Mary did is she talked even in her song about remembering what God had done for Israel and remembering the mercy and the grace that He had shown them. And that when you and I come to service or we talk about Christmas and we talk about the real reason for Christmas, we do it because we are remembering His works. We are remembering the great things that He has done. We are remembering that when He has saved us, and we're remembering when He has healed us, and we're remembering when He has delivered us. It is a time of remembering and of bringing it back to our memories and not letting us forget all of who God is and everything that He has done. As I mentioned earlier, when you hear certain songs, that He brings back memories. There are songs that I sing in church that I sang when I was a kid, and they bring back memories of good things and good times. And if you were raised in Sunday school going to church, you may remember stuff like the Bible, that's the book for me. Or Father Abraham and getting all the motions and the good times of learning about Jesus. But other songs, when you sing them, they bring back times when maybe you were going through something difficult and God helped you and God worked in your life and He brought you through a situation. We sing about Jesus, and when we do, we remember His works. Secondly, though, when we sing about Jesus, we do it to learn His ways. You can read the Bible, and you should, and you can study the Bible, and you should, and you can listen to sermons, and you should. Hopefully, you're paying attention right now. But there's something powerful about music. I've seen people, they couldn't memorize a paragraph to save their life, but if you put it to music, they can learn every word of every song by a certain artist. They know it all. They can't remember the answers for their next test in school, but if you put those answers to music, then you'll remember everything. There's something about that. They have songs to help you memorize the states and the state capitals, and in school they use all of these things because music helps you do that. When I was taking Greek in seminary, we learned the alphabet to music. We memorize words. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. I mean, that was ABC, in case you was wondering. But we did it to music. And here in seminary, and all of these people, I was in my 30s. These people in 30s, 40s, 50s, they just put it to a little child song, a tempo or a rhythm, and they can memorize it. And so we sing songs because it helps us to remember, it helps us to learn, it helps us to know what He did. We may not can remember a verse in the Bible, and we may not can remember all the stories, but like I said, Father Abraham had many sons. Well, what's the deal? He's the father of many nations. That's why we sing about that. We put it to music so that you can remember. And there are people in our culture today, I promise you, they may not really know the Christmas story, but they know all the songs. It's not just Rudolph and Frosty, but they know Silent Night. And they know O Holy Night because they hear it, and there's repetition. And they're learning about Jesus to music when they wouldn't sit through a sermon. They wouldn't read their Bible. Songs are powerful. And when we sing, we learn His ways. But lastly, when we sing about Jesus, we do it to praise Him and to glorify Him. That was primarily what Mary was doing. She was talking about what He had done and bringing to remembrance what He had done to Israel and what He had done in her life. But ultimately, she was praising God through song. That she was saying, God, this is what You have done. This is how great You are. This is how mighty You are. This is how magnificent You are. And when the angels came and they said, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men, they were praising God. They were saying, He is worthy of all glory. That when we sing songs, when we come to church, it's not just what you do before the preacher gets up to read a passage of Scripture and talk. But songs teach us theology. It teaches us about God. It teaches us His ways. It brings to remembrance what He has done. But ultimately, it's called a worship service. It is a worship team. It is a time of worship because it is to give praise and glory and honor to God. That's why we sing. So at Christmas, we have these two songs in the Christmas story. They tell us God's past and what He has done. They tell us how great He is, that He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of honor. And while there's nothing wrong with Rudolph and Frosty, there's nothing wrong with Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. I guess. I don't know. Maybe there is something wrong with Grandma getting run over by a reindeer. They're fun. They're part of Christmas. They're part of how we celebrate it here in North America and maybe even around the world. And I'm sure every culture has their own songs that they sing and their own traditions. But don't get caught up in Rudolph and Frosty and White Christmas. We won't have one. Don't get caught up in the other songs of I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe. Those are all fun. And ultimately, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're really not about Christmas. They're about a holiday that we happen to celebrate. That Christmas and the real songs of Christmas are about the Christ of Christmas. They're about the biblical stories. They're about hark, the herald angels sing. They're about Silent Night, and they're about all of these different things that we have sung about and will sing about. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing a non-Christmas song, but it is about the Christ, so maybe it is a Christmas song. Maybe every song about Jesus Christ is really a Christmas song. It is about the Christ of Christmas. And so I'm going to ask you, you can stay where you are, and I know our tradition has been to gather around the front, and we may do that a little bit later, and we'll sing a couple of more traditional Christmas songs in a minute. But before we do that, as I mentioned, we sing to praise Jesus Christ. And so I want to do that right now. It's a real simple song. It's just called Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb. And the word hallelujah, if you're not familiar with that, it is Hebrew, and it just means praise to Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God in the Old Testament. And so we bring that and we sing that. We are praising God and calling Him by that name in the Old Testament. And then, of course, Jesus, His name means Yahweh saves. So that's what Jesus came to. Would you sing that with us today?
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Oh, and my heart
today.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, you are worthy of praise and glory and honor.
The Lamb.
Yeah, and
my heart sings His praise again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Oh, in my heart. I know we come from various Christian traditions probably, and not everybody is, their tradition is one of lifting their hands or those type of things. But I would just tell you that there are seven words in the Bible for praise. All of them involve doing something physical. One of them is, of course, related to clapping your hands, and one of them is related to lifting your hands. And so Kim's going to sing this one more time, and part of the reason we lift our hands, it is a sign of surrender. It's a sign of saying, in essence, God, you are Lord of my life. I give you everything. It's also a sign of receiving, that I want to receive whatever you want to do in my life. So as she sings this again, if you're comfortable with it, I just invite you, you can close your eyes. So if you can't see anybody else, then just imagine they can't see you lifting your hands, but just lift your hands and sing this.
Hallelujah, praise the name. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, we love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Oh, and my heart sings
His praise again. Hallelujah, praise.
And one final time. Jesus, we're so grateful for who you are. We're so grateful, Lord, for what you have done. Lord, I'm so grateful for your presence that I feel in this service today. You're not just a story. You're not just something we celebrate out of tradition. You're not a myth, you're not a fable, it's not a legend. But you truly came. You came so that you could die, so that you could rise again, and so that we who are here today could experience eternal life. And Lord, we give you praise that we know you, that we can experience you today, that we can feel what we feel. Let me encourage you, why don't you just pray in your own way? Would you reach out to the Lord? I know that you can feel what I feel, that you're experiencing His presence, His power today. Would you just talk to Him? Would you thank Him for what He's done in your life? Would you give Him praise and adoration? if you're comfortable with it, would you just reach over, put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder, take their hand, whatever's appropriate. Would you offer a prayer to the Lord for them? Would you pray that during this Christmas season that He would be at work in them, that He would bless them, that He would pour out His favor upon them? God, we need You. We don't want to do anything without You. We don't want to go through life without You. We don't want to go through life not experiencing Your presence and Your power, without You being resident in our lives. Jesus, You're so great. You're so great. You're so great.